cooked the grade school kids today.
Yeah, yeah, gave them a good workout. Eh?
No, the academy.
Oh, I buried them.
What do you mean? So, okay, let's do this. Okay. So, I was having a conversation last week, did a consult, and we were talking about the concept of getting what you tolerate. Yeah. And as a coach, a lot of times coaches will say, like, this is what I believe, this is my philosophy, this is what is okay and not okay. And then when it comes down to it and someone breaks the rule or goes against what you said, a lot of times like coaches will just brush it off or they won't follow through with what they said. And I'm like anti that. So the kids have been getting like too rowdy. So today I went to take a pee-pee and I was gone for 48 seconds to go pee.
Yeah.
And one of the other teachers had to go in and tell them to stop like screaming because she could hear them from the classroom. So that was like my snap. So for like almost probably 50 minutes, I just cooked them. Like I did that chief workout, but I didn't just cook them. It was like by the end, I'm kind of like, do you guys get the point here? And then I have them explain to me the point, why we're doing what we're doing. And it's not just because you were loud. It's that for, I've been telling you guys. And now you just embarrassed yourselves and me because another teacher had to come in and tell you the same thing I've been telling you for X number of time.
Yeah.
So I just cooked them.
What grade were they?
Like 5 to 8. They were cooked. But they got the point. And it was probably a little excessive in like the duration, but
it's fine.
But not really. You know?
It's fine.
It was like I could have stopped it at the half, but what I liked was a lot of them kept like trying to check the time and like see how long. So I would just do every time I saw that, I would do another one. Almost stopped. And then they would do that, and I would do another one. And then they would do that, and then I would do another one.
Yeah, perfect.
Just to make them feel the pain for a bit, because it's like, you guys have to learn, man. Yeah. And that's what I finished off. You have to learn that you can't just be a jackass all the time.
Yeah, doing 20 sets or 2 sets of squats ain't gonna cut it.
Yeah. So like my point of that was, you have to kind of stick to your word.
Yeah.
If like you're laying down the law, then lay it down.
Yeah.
You can't say it's this, but then it's actually not that, and then the kids know, right? Yeah. They know how to play.
Oh, for sure.
Around, because they're smart, so they know how to work around your rule structure.
For sure.
And they find ways, man. If you say you can't do this, they'll find like the next closest thing to that and do it.
Yeah.
You know. So, anyways, this episode of the podcast is brought to you by the PowerTech Online Membership Program. If you've been listening to Andy and I, wondering, hey, how are they able to get all this podcast content out there? Well, that's because of our members. For just $9.99 a month, you can get access to our online video library, including hundreds of videos of Coach Andy teaching, and have the option for consultation calls with Andy or myself to go over anything you need. We can cover training, nutrition, coaching, parenting, agents, the junior college hockey path, whatever's of interest to you. You'll also be able to participate in our popular Ask Me Anything episodes, have access to special discount codes, and be given priority for any PowerTech in-person camps or events. If you like what we're doing here and you want to support us, this is the best way to do it. Visit powertechhockey.ca/memberships or find the link in the description of this video to learn more. What do I have to say? I just want to mention live show again quick.
Okay.
It's a thing. So I sent a... Yeah,
it's a thing.
It's a thing. So we're doing it. It's going to be in February. It's going to be February 19th, which is Monday. It's a family day. I'm giving an advance, like a pre-register option before the new year to the members. I'm probably going to send it out next week.
Yeah.
So I sent all the members something last night. So check your email if you haven't, and you should have something from me about that. I also sent you a link. We're going to do an Ask Me Anything episode for Christmas as well. Yeah. So you guys can participate in that. But I sent some details out about the show, and I'm going to send everybody a discount code that's a member for that live show.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to try to work out an option where people that can't come in person, if they're members, they can still get like a live stream kind of thing to be a part of it. So if you're not a member, then do that, because that's going to be next week. I'm going to send that out, and they have the opportunity to get those tickets and get that discount code. And then after the new year, that's when we'll actually make the announcement on it, and we'll work with whoever to do, if you want team tickets or something like that. A couple people have asked about that already, so we can set that up if you contact me afterwards also. So that's all I want to say about that. So we're going to have like some guest speakers. We're going to have a bunch of different vendors there that are from the hockey world that are in different kind of areas to give you guys some different, you know, information, different training techniques, different methods and stuff, just to open up the brain to some other things maybe that you haven't been exposed to before. So it should be a good day. So anyways, that's all I want to say about that.
It'll be awesome.
Yeah, that's all I want to say about that. So if you have any questions about that, then you can go to the contact page on our website and you can reach out.
Actually, I did a consultation last week and that member said that they responded with a request for a ticket as soon as they got it.
Yeah, yeah.
I was really excited about it.
Yeah, yeah, it should be cool. It'll be our first kind of live thing, so cool. And thanks to all the members again. For you guys are the ones that are making this a thing.
Yep.
As I said earlier, a thing.
Yep.
Okay, that's all I had to start with. Do you have anything you want to start with before I start with the topic of the day?
The only thing I have to say is nothing.
Oh, is it something funny?
The fact that I can't believe it's December 12th, 13th, 11th, whatever it is today, and half the season's gone already for kids. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. It's amazing. So Charlie plays tomorrow night at Owen Sound, Friday and Saturday in, at home, and then he's coming home for 9 days.
And then
I can't believe it's half the season already.
And then you're in the home stretch of year three.
Yeah.
Like that.
It's crazy.
Dude, I remember sitting here with you, draft day.
I know.
How fast that went by, eh? We're at year three.
Absolutely.
It's crazy.
Crazy.
I know.
Crazy, man.
I know. It's crazy how fast it goes, man. I'm looking at some of the kids that are now into junior hockey, and then they're getting into the teenage years where they start to grow a lot. Mm-hmm. And I'm remembering, like, same as I did with Charlie, it's like, holy crap, man, you're freaking huge now.
Yeah.
You're huge. I saw one kid that I used to train at one of the academies, and I haven't seen him in 2 years. I ran into him at the grocery store, actually, and he's like 6'3", like taller than me. And I remember when he was just like a little fart-faced kid running around in Powertech. It's crazy how fast it goes, man. It's crazy. You know what else I was thinking, too, just on a side note? I was talking with my Christine about this the other day, how she asked me how old one of my sisters was. So one of my sisters is like, she's 34 or whatever. And when I said 34, I was like, holy crap, man. Like she's ticking up near 40.
Yeah.
So on the one hand, it's like I'm going to be 30 next year. And on the one hand, I'm like, holy crap, like 30. Like you feel like, okay, now you're not a kid. Now you're actually an adult. And it's like, okay, I'm like setting my ways, whatever. But then it's like, you still have like 50 more years of life. Like, so when you're 30, it's like, it feels like, okay, I'm a grown up now. It's like, but you have so much time to still do stuff.
Colonel Sanders started his business at 70.
Yeah. There you go, right? You know who always says stuff like that too is Gary Vee. I'm not a big Gary Vee guy.
No, me neither.
But the one thing he said, I remember that resonated. He was like, if you're like 42, you still have like so much time that you can do stuff, even if you're starting from scratch.
Oh, yeah.
But it feels, on the one hand, like you're like such a grown-up now.
Yeah, and you want to be motivated. Like,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like there's a lot of reasons why people maybe not or whatever. It's interesting, though, because I think like being in opportunities to grow business or whatever, it's I think you're, for me anyways, the mindset was always there that you can do something else and almost start over. No, I don't, start over is not the word, but you can always just come up with something, a great idea, reinvent yourself.
So it's like if you go to university,
yeah,
so you got your degree and whatever thing, or you go to college and or you do an apprenticeship, mm-hmm. and it's like you're 22. Mm-hmm. And if you hate it, like so many people would, like common mindset, like, well, I did this thing. Now I should stick with this thing because if I don't have this by the time I'm 30 or 35 or whatever, I feel like I'm behind and I'm delayed. And you feel like, but it's like, you know how much more time you have? So on the one hand, we're talking about like how fast it's going. But then on the other hand, it's like, there's still so much. You finish your junior hockey career, you're 20.
Yeah.
You know, you finish your college career, you're 24.
Yep.
It's like you still have your whole life. Like you're not even near the halfway point here.
No, I know.
It's such a weird thing. But then you think of someone who's 50, like an old goat as yourself.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're old. It's like, well, not really.
No, not in the big scheme of things.
Yeah, you're not really.
It's how you look at it, though. It's how you look at it, who you're around, what you're around, what you put in your head, what your habits are. All those things will age you or keep you young. And you know, we just did a podcast the other day about, and, you know, a lot of people made comments on the thing I saw. You know, we're talking about if you have a really bad team or a really good team, if you go in there defeated already, you lose. Like a lot of people were saying that, which is, you know, it's true, right? It's true.
On the one hand, yes.
Yeah, on the one hand, you know, we were talking more along the lines of, being realistic about it. Like, of course you're trying to win and you think you can, and you got to do the steps to do it. But my point to that was something about life, right? Yeah. So how you look at it, right? Yeah. Yeah. So if you hang around with young people, you'll probably be younger. If you hang out with idiots, you'll probably be an idiot. If you hang out with people with ideas that are motivated and stuff like that, you'll probably do that. If you hang around with people that are active and go for walks even or eat healthy, you're going to be more along those lines. So you are who you hang out with, and it's your outlook on life, right? Well, it's funny though, like think of the narrative around growing up, and I don't know so much your generation, but mine was like, if you think about it, right? Not saying good or bad, this is just my thoughts, right? I never liked school. So, and I wasn't interested in school as far as I knew, okay? But when you grow up as a kid, when I was a kid, is people always would say, go to school. How about this? We're going to put money away for your school. So a kid grows up thinking by the time they get to 18, 19, 20 years old, if they don't go to school, it's like you're going against what everybody told you you're supposed to do. So there's like, I know for me, it was like, okay, it's almost like a guilt feeling, like you're supposed to go to school, but it wasn't for me. And there's a million other ways, not a million, there's a hundred, there's a lot of different ways to make money and have a career and have a good career and stuff like that. So like, and then I question, is the school way the way to go? And I think for people that think that going to school is the answer, I mean, it could be depending on what you're doing, right? If you want to be a doctor, you have to go to school. If you want to be a lawyer, you have to go to school. Education itself is probably a good thing to make yourself smarter and stuff. But to say that that's the way to be a successful person, not necessarily so. And it's funny when people talk about trades. I mean, I've had this conversation with so many people. It's like, if, you know, they go, you know, if you don't go to school, at least, you know, then you can just go get a trade. It's like, and they make a trade sound like it's just such a, you know, be a blue collar trade guy, but it's like, those are the guys that make money. And you can have that trade and have a business mind or save and invest and do all these different things without an education in school. But anyways, my point to that is that people plant seeds on what, from a young age, on how you're supposed to think, right? So I remember I was always felt guilty for not really wanting to go to school. It didn't make sense to me. And that's that.
Yeah. On that note too, I literally just had this conversation today with the kids at the high school, literally right along these lines about that, having the mindset, like what are you thinking? Like, why do you think you're here? Because just along the lines, as you know, if you're 50 years old and you think, yep, I'm old now, like this hurts, that hurts, I can't do that because I'm 50, I can't do that because I'm 60, these kinds of things, you're just limiting for no reason. Like, there's nothing inherently limiting you at that age, unless you just say that it's limiting you and you stop doing the thing. And so I was having this exact conversation today with the high school kids, because I was saying to them, why do you go to school? Like, well, I started with this question. I said, what happens when hockey's over? That's what I said. And they were like, you have to work or you have to get a job or whatever. And I was like, yeah, so what does that mean? Like, what do you have to be able to do in order to work or get a job or do something else that's not hockey? And then we get around to the answer of like, you need life skills. And I'm like, yeah. So like, the point of school is not the content that you learn at school. And the example I gave them with me, it was like, I got my engineering degree. Like, here's my little pinky ring. I got the degree. I don't use one thing in terms of content from that degree, except for like some computer stuff here and there when I'm getting like really in the weeds about something, but very infrequently. But I would still say getting my degree is one of the most valuable things I did, because I had 4 years of practicing caring about things. And that's the thing that I left with them about school. I was like, I don't care if you don't care about school, because if you get a 67 on your test, it actually doesn't matter. Like, honestly, everyone says, oh, your marks matter. And maybe if you want to do certain programs or certain things with school, it matters, but it actually doesn't matter. Even if you failed a course or something, there's ways that you can overcome that later. Like, it's not like it's the end of the world. But does that mean you should just not care about any of your stuff? It's like, no, the reason you're here is to practice caring about things that you might not want to do. Because in life, that's going to happen. In hockey, that's going to happen. Your coach is going to make you go and do the penalty kill where you have to block a shot. And if you don't, you don't play, or you get scratched or whatever. And, well, I don't want to go block the shot. Tough. when you go to work, your boss is going to say, I need you to get this thing done. And if you don't do it, there's X consequence. So you're just practicing caring, you know? And so the mindset of you need to go to school, you need to do that, like that's not the right way of thinking about it. It's just you're practicing caring about things that maybe you don't want to do. That's what all school is at. Like how much, even when I remember in grade school and high school, I didn't care about school. Like I did well in school just because I was fortunate enough to have a brain for school, which I didn't necessarily earn, but I still wanted to care just for the sake of doing well, just because I had some pride in doing things well, you know, and that's what you're doing there. It's not to try to, you know, get the paper because the paper is so significant, because it's really not so much anymore. Like in the way society is today, like you said, there's a million ways you can go about, you know,
yeah,
having
it's,
a career.
It's not to say like, it's not, it was, that's just, that was me. And that was my thing with school. And I turned out, I think fine. I think I don't yeah. got my moments. Right. Yeah. But it's that narrative that you need to. So the kids that listen, I'm not saying you shouldn't care about school. That's not what I was saying. What I was saying is, my point to all that was how people create narratives for you, and no different than a hockey player, right? So if you go, let's say you go into a junior or college and you think you should get 50 goals. And then and the coach says, what's your goal? And you say 50 and they laugh at you. It's like, you know, you're telling me that I can't, you know, and it's not, I'm not saying it's probable, but you already get labeled. No, you're not going to get 50. How about good luck to you? Make sure we play both ends of the ice. Or how about the guy that has been told that he is a checker and but he wants to get 25, 30, 40 goals, 25 goals, let's say. And it's like, yeah, but you're a checker. You don't worry about goal scoring. It's like people label already, right? And it's just your job to figure out what do you want to be? Because you can be a checker and score 25 goals. And you can be a defensive defenseman and still score some points, and you could be a skilled guy that beats the snot out of someone once in a while. So like when people put labels on you, it's like you gotta redefine what that means, right? You can't just listen to what everybody says, because you know it's easy to do, right? Someone tell you long enough what they think you are, and they could be giving you some good advice in the big picture, but just to say that I am this, it might be more. Right, so if you're a checker, but let's say that you're a checker, and you're not supposed to get 10 goals a year, but you work your shot, you work on little things on the side, and all of a sudden you're in situations where you put the puck in the net because you've worked on them, like you've done something about it, right? Same as a skill guy, you can still learn how to finish checks and stuff. Anyways,
no, it's good. It's good shit. I like having that conversation.
Don't have to listen to what other people say.
Yeah, I like when we get on little rants like that, because there's little threads of things underneath what we talk about that normally is around something like that. So it's nice to actually draw attention to it here and there. Okay, so I want to talk about being a teacher today. We were talking about like episode ideas yesterday, and this has been a common thing that I've been running into over the last few weeks that like keeps presenting itself to me. So I had a couple different conversations over the last couple of weeks, and I've witnessed it with teachers in person, and I've said some of these things before, but I want to dive into it a little bit, where I think for me personally, having been a version of a teacher now for long enough to have an opinion, I see things that work and that don't work. And I'm noticing like common things where teachers just like are kind of missing the mark in my, like to me at least. And it's not just my opinion either, because they will express their frustration about it, you know? So for me, like, obviously there are moments as a teacher, as a coach, as a parent, whatever, where you're going to be frustrated, but on the whole, are you like always frustrated, or is the group always not doing what you want? And are you just like miserable about the situation because something's not clicking? And a lot of times you'll think it's the group. It's like, this is a particularly problem group. And that maybe is the case, but I find very rarely with the groups that I've worked with, it's an unreachable group, or it's a situation where you can't have any kind of positive impact. But very infrequently has that happened to me. And I know for you, you'd probably have a similar opinion. And I mean, that kind of makes sense because you've taught me a lot about teaching in general. So that would kind of make sense. But I wanted to flip it to you to start as a, I'm going to call you a teacher for today.
Yeah, that's fine.
Instead of a coach or a parent, but yep. You can frame it in whichever, because those are kind of the same thing.
A life coach?
Yeah, life coach.
No, well, never, I mean, you would agree. Never call me that.
But yeah.
Never
but
call
you,
me that.
But you would agree
left
that
hook, man.
Teaching is like coaching and parenting are teaching. It's the same thing.
Well, I was going to intertwine those words. If you're a coach, if you have kids, your team and the people that you're leading are going to resemble a lot of the way your kids are. It's kind of the same thing. And I would say that coaching is parenting. Parenting is coaching. Coaching is teaching. Teaching is parenting. Parenting is teaching. Did I leave anything out?
Yeah.
No, but that's what it is. It's the same thing. So it's like, that's why I think a lot of the principles, well, not why, I think it is why you can read a basketball book, which I have from like a nurse, and you could take those principles and they're the exact same. Okay. So I just thought of one, right? He said in his book, which I read probably 8 months ago, he only has, I think, 2 to 3 bullets in his gun to use on his team in a year, right? That's means snap show or like snap show, got to fix something. Like he has, so he chooses wisely when he's going to pull those bullets out. And hopefully he doesn't use all three.
So, sorry, just to be clear, it's like we're talking like 2 or 3 times a year where it's like the nuclear button. Where
yeah.
It's like we're,
this is
there's
it.
An explosion. We need to fix something right now kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's with a basketball team. It's no different than a hockey team, a football team, because, or parenting or a teacher at school, because there's ways to teach. You try to solve problems, try to talk, try to get through things. I'm talking, you can be hard on people. You could have expectations, all those different things. But if you are a constant snap show, then the bullets in your gun have no value, right? So the teaching kid coaching thing is the same, right? Your kid, whatever, pick a thing that you want them to do better or that upsets you. If it's every day you just snap, 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 then he doesn't hear it anymore. No different than the defenseman, no different than the centerman, no different than the kid at school. So you have to find your things that have meaning to your words,
yeah,
and consequences to your words.
Well, this kind of goes to something else I wrote down. Just when I'm talking about like noticing missing the mark, a lot of it comes down to, like we talked about that book, Dichotomy of Leadership, before, how there's like always a balance of whatever thing you're doing as a teacher, coach, parent, whatever. There's a balance. It's never just one way all the time. And that's one thing I wanted to reiterate with this episode is that if you're too much one thing, it's an issue, and I'm seeing that a lot. And then another one is exactly what you're saying, getting upset or being a snap show about things that don't matter or things that you could let them get away with, but because you're so frustrated or you're so annoyed with the group or you're so miserable about whatever other thing is going on in your life that you just want to take it out on these guys, whatever the reason is. I've noticed that. Not knowing your audience, that's a huge one. And then another one is kind of what I started with today when we were talking about kind of sticking to your word. Like, you know, I'm telling you this is going to be the consequence if you don't do it, and then sticking to it. And those are a few things that I've noticed that where I see teachers, and to be fair, like teachers are people. Like this is another thing from the, I've had this conversation last week too, is telling one of the, a coach that I was talking to, like cut yourself some slack because it is a hard situation. You know, because you're just a person and your kid, like kids are going to frustrate you, man. And you're going to have moments where you snap and maybe you shouldn't have or whatever. But it's just being aware of the limitations that you have right now and trying to fix those things moving forward, because it just makes it a better situation for you. And you have to be able to know kind of where maybe you're missing or where you're not following through with things you said you would follow through with. And you have to be aware of that. And it could be that you're just too serious as a coach. That's a really common one I see. It's like you're super serious as a coach and your group just isn't. So now what do you do? And we've talked about that in some of the episodes before, but throwing it to more like a question to you, because you've been really successful as a coach and as a teacher, as a parent too, for the last 20 whatever years. So what are like some of the things that you think have been really important for you to be successful almost regardless of the group? Like, doesn't matter what the group is. Like, what are some of the common threads that you've noticed? Like, this works, this doesn't. This works, this doesn't, kind of thing.
Yeah, I wrote a few things down, okay? So I'm not just totally winging it here. Okay, so the number one thing, well, no, not number one. I did no particular order is, why I've had success and probably continue to is because number one for myself, I care about what I'm doing. I care about doing an excellent job. I actually really care about that. And, that might sound like, well, of course you do. No, not really. Some people don't care. They just do the job or they do part of a job. Right. So I get very, I take it very personal that I do a very good job. One of my quotes that I use a lot of the times is that I said to myself, if you don't feel that you can do this anywhere in the world and be the best at it, then you shouldn't go out and make money at it, right? So that I take a lot of pride in that. I will do an excellent job. I cared about doing an excellent job. So if, and correct me if I'm wrong, when someone's in a position to, like a coach or whatever, if they show that they are ambiguous. I love my huge words. Come on, man. About their commitment, or they show like they're coming to work and it's like, ah, you know, whatever happens, happens, or unprepared for a practice or a game, then yeah, that's what you're going to get with your kids. If you come in and you're always dialed in and it shows like you care about all the details, and that rises all ships. Right. So that's not number one, but I think it's very important. The second thing about that is I cared about doing an excellent job. So if you think about it as a coach, okay, like your systems are good. This is good. This is good. The practices are good. Okay. But what else should you care about? You should care about some sort of result. And that's one thing that I took a great pride in, is I cared about making the players better. So for me, it wasn't about running drills, because you can running drills or, you know, making it look good, because that's fine. But are you getting results? Like what kind of results are you getting? So if I'm coaching a team, your results are, you know, to me should be trying to win, and that should be a goal, no matter how poor your team is or how good it is. Should be competing at the highest level. Should be making the players individually better as best, you know, as much as you can. And it's like all those things, like caring about making your players better, right? So if your players are better, and what does that mean? Well, are they better hockey players? Well, that's what your job is. So that's what you should be doing. Are they better people? Well, that's not necessarily your job, but I think if you care, that's going to be part of it. So I think that's really important. And it's like if you're a school teacher, it's the same thing, right? If you come in and you show that you care about getting results, then what happens? And then when some kid comes in and says, I didn't get my homework done, it's not like, oh, well, okay, you get an F. It's like, come here for a second, and you can have just a normal conversation and show like maybe you're disappointed, which disappointment shows, like genuine though. Disappointment shows that you actually cared, or you see something in this person that they didn't see in themselves. And those are all little things about caring that make a big difference. So when someone cares about you and someone sees potential in you and someone wants you to do well and someone says you can maybe be here because you see yourself here, but I think you can be here, and it's genuine and there's a support group or the environment's good, then that you get someone to believe in themselves. That's making people better, right? So I think that was one of my things. Really, 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 really important is what were your goals? Right? What do you...
But as the coach?
Yeah. As the teacher, as the coach, as mom and dad. Right. Like, so if my son said, or my daughter said, I'm going to go in social work or I want to be a psychologist. It's like, okay, why? Like, what do you really want to do? Where do you want to end up? Because maybe that's not the right path. Maybe it is, right? But knowing their goals so you can help, right? So, like, this could sound weird from a skills coach, but what are your goals? Because I always say this, you know, like, if you're coaching a team, like, if you come to junior, say you play in the OHL or college, and you say, I just want to have a good junior career. Okay, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But as a coach, it's like, where can I help you now? Like what kind of buttons can I press to get you to a higher level, right? So anyways, my point is to know what is your goal. So pretty much every player. So like I do that all the time in camps. It's like, who would like to play college, NHL, whatever, right? Like I want to know your goals. And as I get to know them a little bit more, where do you want to go? So because it makes a big difference, right? If a kid says, I want to be a top pick in the OHL, like I want to be, you know, I want to go high enough to play as a 16, 17-year-old. Well, there's a little bit of a time period that we have to maybe look at and say, you know, and I have to be honest now, right? I got to say, okay, you're got a ways to go here. You're going to have to really work hard to say, okay, this makes sense to you, to me. Someone says, I want to go and get a D1 scholarship and then play in the NHL or whatever. It's like, okay, so we got a different time frame. We got different, you know, I got to know he balances school. There's different values and stuff like that. So knowing their goals helps. And it helps me as a coach with my commitment to them. Because someone says, I just, and you know what? I was going to say just, I didn't mean just. So I used to have times when I had some camps earlier on when I would go, why are you guys paying to come out for lessons or to this group? Like, you don't have a chance. And then I said, I have to find a purpose to, because they're coming anyways. I have to find a purpose to teach them. And that's where I it was important to me to find out where I was. And some kids were like, I just want to stay on the AAA team. I want to make the AAA team. It's a goal, right? It's not the biggest task ever. It's like, okay, we have to, a short period of time, got to do so many things, do this in your game, do this in your game, do this in your game, and that should help you, right? So like knowing their goals helps me help you. So yeah. I think that's huge.
Yeah, and just a highlight, I want to stretch that out too. If you're not a hockey coach, because just one example for me, I don't even know if everyone knows the things that I do in a day, but just as one example, I have the, on Mondays, I actually do a classroom thing where I teach kids about nutrition concepts or training or recovery or whatever. But right now we're doing a unit, I guess, on nutrition. So it's the classroom setting. And to your exact point, it's, I need to have a goal of what I'm trying to do. So if you're a teacher and you listen to this, like, have you actually sat and decided, okay, what is my goal this year for my grade 6 class or my grade 12s or whatever the group is that you're teaching? So for me, I do that with the training stuff, and maybe it seems a little bit more tangible because you're training for a specific sport and getting a result might be easier. But for me with the nutrition thing, it's like, okay, what's my goal? This is the topic I'm teaching. What's my goal for this? And what I wanted to do is give the kids some actual things they can take into their nutrition protocols at home. Like, how do I identify protein? How do I identify this? How can I make sure I'm actually making strides to be better with how I eat food? So that was my goal. I was like, I want practical strategies for them where they can leave this class. And if someone says, what did you learn today? They could say something. It's not nothing. And I think it seems obvious, right? Like, you have to have a goal as a teacher, or you have to have a goal as a coach.
Or you have to know what their goal is.
Or either or, but I really think that's something that is overlooked because it's almost taken for granted. It's like you think, yeah, okay, like the kids want to do well in this class so they get their grade so they can move on. And it's like, how do you know that's the goal? You don't know. What if you're dealing with a kid that doesn't like school? They might have a different goal. So that's a really important thing. I just want to highlight that because even if you're not a coach, if you're a teacher of some sort, if you're a parent, even with your kids, like, what's your goal with your kids? Like, what, those are things that need to be a discussion. You actually have to have that in your mind.
Well, so funny you say that, because my wife, her, you know, some people would say we want all our kids to be doctors or whatever, and that's fine. But my wife was, her goal with all three kids was to have good human beings that were respectful, that you could take out in public.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And that whether they were married or not, boy or girl, be self-sufficient. And they weren't dependent on someone else.
Great.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And it might sound like it's low-bearing fruit, low-hanging fruit, but not really.
No, it's not.
So we look at, you know, Charlie's still a kid yet, but, you know, Avery's a nurse. So no matter what happens in her life, she's able to support herself in a lot of different ways, right? And, you know, Carter's like, can fix anything, and he's a farm guy. He's a heavy mechanic guy. And he works his ass off, and, you know, so it's good. You can do things, and they're both smart.
Yeah.
And then we got Charlie. He's a hockey player.
Yeah. But that's what I wanted to point out about that, because that's a really good one. I think people can take that for granted. The having an actual goal that you've thought out, and whether you've verbalized it to someone or wrote it down or something specific that you've actually thought through, I do think that that's something that not a lot of people actually take the time to do. They have a vague idea of something, but they don't get it down to something specific. And it's really hard, because when you actually sit and try to figure out what the goal is, it might not be the vague thing that you thought. You might actually write it down and say, oh, that's actually not what I want. I want this, or I feel like this is more the right way, or whatever. So that's a really important step, you know?
So I got a few here, bud. I created expectations with all my students. My expectations were basically be on time, respect me.
Yeah, yeah. Respect your expectations of them. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, but I expect them to work their ass off and listen to me when I'm talking to them. Nod, say yes, and expect effort. I expect that. And then the next, like, I'm just throwing a few out. Not that I go through a list every day, but it's pretty. They figure it out pretty quick. And it's it's expectations. When the whistle goes, I need to talk to you. It's get there quick. Let's talk. Let's get it over with. Don't shoot pucks and all that kind of stuff. And respect other people. You know, and I say that to the kids a lot. The other thing that I had success with is getting a clear message out. Right. And with that, I'm going to intertwine that is getting a clear message is being able to explain things properly, clear, concise. Right. Also, being able to show them was very beneficial for my success to them because they could see it's believable. Someone else can do that skill. So that was good. But to go along those lines, and I think this is important, is it was taught to the appropriate group. So, and what I mean by that is the students had to match me and I had to match the students. There's so many times over the years where someone would want to come into the camp. And early on, I made the mistake, right? Not the mistake, but I said, okay, this doesn't work. And it was a frustrating, because it's frustrating. So if we're going to do a high-end skills camp or and there's teaching time and space and it's just a higher level of teaching and you have someone comes in and it's like they're not very good at hockey and their commitment level isn't really high, it doesn't work, right? And more importantly, it's the commitment level. So what I learned early was that how I look at hockey and how some people look at hockey are going to be totally different. So a dad that says, oh, it'd be good if you came with you, you'd just get better because of the stuff that you do. No, not really, because it's demanding. I'm going to expect some things from him. And I don't want to start at this level. I want to start here. So what happens is if you are matched up with the wrong level, then it doesn't work. And it could be said the other way, right? If your teaching is only to hear and you want to teach junior and pro college players, but you only have this and you don't understand the game enough, then you're just going to be nothing but frustrated. You won't have success. So you have to make sure that you're teaching the appropriate level, right? So like, let's just say an NHL coach was going to come in as a guest coach for a camp 1 week or whatever for Bantam or 15-year-old kids. It may not work. Because it might be like, this is boring. Like, what do we do in skill? Like, it might not even make sense to them, right? So just because you're an NHL coach doesn't mean that you're going to be a good 15-year-old skills guy or teach the game to 15-year-olds, vice versa, right? So anyways, that was a huge thing for me is that, okay, I knew that if I was going to have success in my business, 7-year-old kids with snot all over their face, so it was probably not the kid that I want, that was going to be a good match for me. Nothing wrong with the kid, but for me, I needed a 12-year-old, 15-year-old, 16-year-old kid that can play a little bit of hockey that I can work with. And then that matches a lot better.
Yeah, that was one of the things I wrote down is matching your group.
Yeah.
And then,
but a piece of frustration if you don't.
Well, because the other thing too, like parents expect, I had this conversation on another consult a few weeks ago with a parent. She was saying that, oh, I brought my kid to this skating coach who was supposed to be the best guy ever and he worked in the NHL and it was expensive and whatever. And my kid hated it. It's like, well, first of all, if it's super expensive when they're super young, it's not really necessary, but that's besides the point. If you have, you always say, you don't need a heart surgeon if you have a cough. That's not what you need. If you want to do that, if it works for you and whatever, that's fine, but it's not necessary. And I think a lot of times people will jump the gun to try to get a certain type of teacher or a certain reputation of teacher who may not be appropriate. Like for you, I get people all the time that ask, can Coach Andy do shooting with my kid off the ice and stuff? It's like, that's not what you need. That's not what's appropriate, you know? And then on the flip side of that too, as the teacher, you kind of mentioned a few minutes ago, working or finding a purpose with a group that's not exactly maybe your optimal or your preference or whatever. And there's something about that I want to talk about too, is kind of figuring out how to work within the constraints that you have or work within certain limitations. So, for example, just to take an example that's not hockey, if you're a teacher, I know a lot of teachers, and there's complaints about the classroom where like there's tons of limitations on teachers and what they can do because that's the rules. That's what the school board says, et cetera. So that's tough. So here's your set of constraints and limitations, and you have to figure out how to come up with a positive strategy within these limitations. So as a coach, as a teacher, regardless of your environment, that will be present no matter what the group is, and figuring out how to balance your approach depending on those constraints. So how did you find for you, if you had to bring it down to, well, like, here's a good example. So when we do our shooting camps, it's younger kids, and there's a wide range of skill from, let's say, a 10-year-old A player to a 14-year-old AAA player. So what in your approach will change in terms of the teaching for that hour and a half, as opposed to if you had six 16-year-old AAA kids or something?
Yeah. Well, let's mix up the group. Let's say in that group we have a mixture of everything. So with the kids that are 16 or 15 years old that shoot the puck well, it's tweaking, right? It's tweaking little things. And if I go down to, if that same group had a 12-year-old that was not, like, just not a really good shooter or whatever, it would be just getting them to the basics. And my verbiage with both of them would be just a little bit different.
That's what I was going to get. So, like, are you softening your approach? Are your expectations not so high? Do you focus more on, like, goof around and make sure they have a little bit of fun with it versus the 16-year-old where it's like, no, stop, do it again. It's this.
Yeah, with a little humor, like, sometimes, yeah. Too. But, yeah, for sure. Like, when you're talking to a 16-year-old, it might be, like, a simple thing like, okay, like, this is good. Hands need to be a little bit, you got to get that here. Push down the stick, more on the toe. Turn the hips, because those are all things that they can do. And I might be able to even show them, right? Whereas a student that's a little bit younger and is just not very good at, like, a simple, like, let's say a one time with, you know, with a stick down, like a real simple, just slap it in the net. It's just about just little things, you know, and then you're encouraging when they do something well. And then say, oh, I might ask a question. I said, where did you hit the puck on that one? What part of the blade? Like, and I get them to be more interested and totally make it more fun. But of course, still trying to get results. But it's like, you, it's not the same, because the 16, 15-year-old guy that practices all the time and is actually good at shooting has a feel for everything, right? Like a sort of feel that you can tweak little things. Whereas the other guy might be like, yeah, but you're holding your stick way too low or way too high, or you're not bending your knees. Like, those are the simple things, right? So you have to keep it, like, very basic and, like, have them get some success with the basic stuff. And I don't beat them down. Like, that's the thing. It's like, because it would be easy to, honestly, I'm going to say it, like, in a rude way, but if you have a kid that can't shoot the puck and he just wants to flip it or whatever, and you start going like, you don't get it, the kid's stupid or the kid's an idiot. It's like, no, it's just you're asking him to do too much. So you just have to know that audience. That's all.
I want to pull the thread of like the concept of patience into this. So as a teacher, coach, whatever, or even as a parent, like with your own kid watching them develop, how has your patience, tolerance, how has it changed over time? How do you change it from that group versus an older group? And patience meaning, like, how much you're willing to tolerate. Like, how much, for example, if I have a group of 7-year-olds on the ice, I already know going in they just want to mess around. So how much am I going to freak out if they don't follow my instructions? Versus...
What you're focused on in those situations is that they're not being disruptive idiots.
Yes.
You just want them to listen and try their best.
Right. So even if you're trying to teach and they're not grasping what you're doing, that's not really the point necessarily. It's like they just need to get the reps of what you're trying to show them.
Yeah, that's true. And it's also if you're taking 7-year-olds and you have to explain outside of here's what we're doing and one or two things, then you've said too much. Right? As a 7 to like or a low level player or a young player, low level or young player period. There's only so many words and so many coaching cues you should really use, because if you start trying to really teach, like, good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck.
I was having a consult last week and with the coach, and he was, you could just tell talking to him, like, he really cares about being a coach. Like, he cares, and that's great. And I could sense the frustration when he was describing the situation to me of, you know, I have this plan and I want things to go this way, whatever, but then it was along these lines of just something always happens. Like something gets in the way. Like he had a kid come in, he had his jersey on backwards. Another kid, like, so you're dealing with this stuff.
Well, and okay, that right there,
yeah,
says a lot.
Yes,
it doesn't say anything about a bad kid, or what it says is that probably young.
Yeah. Right.
Or I mean, if I have my pants on backwards, I should know.
Yeah. Right. Or like the kid's showing up late, or these types of things where he's like, it disrupts the flow. It's hard to keep. And I'm like, well, of course. So as the coach for that level, there has to be tolerance built into the system here, because that is going to happen. It doesn't matter how much you care or try to teach, that level has to come with a bit of play in the joints for that type of stuff. Because when the kid is however old they were, 9, 10, 8, whatever, the parents are trying to get them there after work. They're going to be late. You know, they're rushing. Could and happen. The kid's going to come on and one of his skates is loose. And now someone has to go out, tighten his skate for him. You know, your coaches, they're just dads that are coming out to help. And you have to explain to them what's going on just as much as the kids. It's not like go and go, you know? And so there's certain things that you have to build into your, what would the word be? Whatever, like the meter of patience that you have for the situation, you have to have some of that built in depending on the level. Now, as you get up, if they are older, more mature, better, are supposed to be at a certain level where maybe the Coach Andy expectations are now appropriate and they're missing on that. Well, now you can get on them quick about it and you can actually be a little bit more firm, frustrated, and let them know earlier, because that is now no longer acceptable at the level that they're at. Does that kind of make sense? Is that kind of
fair? Dude, 100%. Like, it's part of that is expectations. I mean, if a coach laid out the expectations, if you had a young group like you were talking about, the expectations were that you're going to be ready 10 minutes early. You're going to be, when I speak, you listen, and you have all these expectations, and they're 7. Maybe the parents on that team would say, okay, this doesn't even match. I don't get off work till 4 or 5. Like this, like it doesn't even, I can't do it. So the expectations don't match the group that you're teaching, right? So those expectations are something. And then what was the last part you were saying? Go back. So the other thing I was going to say is like, we have to look at, and I think you have this in your notes somewhere later, but we have to look at, you know, what do you expect? Like, expectations are fine, but what do you expect? Like, I mean, I've got a 18-year-old kid. I've got a 26 and a 29 or a 30, whatever she is, kid that if they lived at home, they still wouldn't clean the room probably. No, I'm being honest, right? Because it's not theirs. If Charlie comes back in the summertime, like, we snap. Can you just hang your shit up? Why does he do it at with the Guelph Storm? Because you have to. It's your job. It's being professional. But when you're around here, you know, so what you do, there's a certain age and a certain thing that's important to people at certain times. And when he comes here to hang up his equipment, it's like, dude, like you just turned 18 the other day. You're 18. You can't figure this out. No, he's a kid. He's a kid. And I'm not saying, like, so some parents would say, yeah, but I make their kid. And that's good. It's good. But when you're not there, maybe you've instilled it so well to them, and that's good. But there's other, whatever, there's leaky somewhere else. So, like, expecting the younger that they get, the less important a lot of things are that is important to you. So the last thing on that is that it's great that you care as a coach, but it's more important that the kids know how much you care about them. And then they might do a little bit more.
Yeah, I want to get back to the expectations thing in a second, but I wanted to ask you about the consequences for not meeting expectations. So how did you? So I remember you. This is a story about you. When I was a little kid, you came out to one of our team practices, and we had these two shitheads. It was at the old Windsor Arena. We had these two shithead kids on our team, and you kicked one of the kids off after, you know, 1, 2, 3 times of whatever. Kicked him off, and you had a little snap show on us during that skate for guys like more or less just messing around, right? So how do you judge when the snap is appropriate, when kicking someone off is appropriate, when pulling someone aside is appropriate to have a private conversation or like get in their ear a little bit about why this, why that? How did you manage or judge those types of situations? Like when did you decide to do this, that, the other?
Yeah, good question. Not necessarily the right answer for everybody, but for me, when I, like, let's just say that group, it wasn't an ideal situation for me because it was me and my business doing the work, but it wasn't something that I set up on my own. So I was hired out, contracted out to do a thing. So doing that thing, it was like I was the students weren't mine; they were given to me.
It was already a mismatch.
So I got all kinds of stuff out there. So like in my camps, people knew here's the expectations, and I would use colorful words. If you were doing anything when I would be speaking to you, I'd look at you and I'd say something like that would embarrass you, yeah. Sorry, or put you on the spot, or let you know like this, and everybody got it right away. It took 2 seconds, right? And if you didn't do it, like, so my point is, even in the one that I was doing with you guys, like with your team stuff, it was like, you have to make a point quick, right? You have to know that, like, I want you to listen. Like, even if I didn't say the words, you got to listen to your coach. If you see me do this, if I'm drawing on the board and I see kids talking, I'll stop and I just stare at them. And then someone will nudge them and they'll look at me and I just stare. And that'll be the last time. Okay, coach. If it happens again, then see you later, bud. Parents know it already too. So that was like, for me, it was like, this is what it is. What that does is separate the wheat from the chaff.
Nice. It's a good one.
Right?
Yeah. They say that.
Cream from the milk? Anyways, so that separates that real quick. Okay, this guy is actually too serious for me. Good. Good. We won't have to fight. I'll just take the guys that really want to be here. Now, as you know your group a little bit, or your groups, then you could see who's what, who's who in the zoo, right?
Nice. Two in a row.
Two in a row, sick. So you know, and you get to know them a little bit more. So maybe I know that this kid's parents just got separated. That there's a couple issues, and they could talk to them. Like anyway, stuff like that. Someone is unusually goofing around or not themselves. You know, hey, Eric, come here for a sec. What's going on today? I don't like this about you, whatever. And then you help them out through the thing, right? So that's kind of the only thing.
Yeah, so you made it more
kicking
individual.
Guys off, though? Like, there's guys that I boot off the ice, they know why. They know why because it was an immediate, like, instantly they knew that this would happen. Or I gave them a, hey, you know, I give them the warning, this is not how it works here. And I'll probably, you know, I used to say it all the time. You won't be on the ice. I'll kick you off. Tell your parents. I'll give your money back. I do not care. What I care about is having a really good camp and everybody's here learning and having for the benefit of all you guys. I'm not here to waste my time. So what happened over the years, like my first year, well, first few months, it was like people and then separated and then other people wanted to get in. It was like, no, I know what I can teach to. So if I tell, whatever, a 16-year-old kid that's in AAA in his draft year right now and he's pissing around on the ice with me right now, I don't want you. They don't want to tell their mom and dad that. They don't want to tell them that. And when mom and dad says, don't know, he won't do it again, I go, it's good. I don't need him. I do not need it. So that's me, though, at that level, right? That's all.
No, it's just one perspective on it, right? Yeah. Because this is, again, back to the start.
Because if I'm taking an 11-year-old kid that is playing, like, a different level, then I'm not that guy. Then it's like, okay, I'm gonna have lots of help, right? Or we're going to have appropriate help so that we can do things and the things look good and we're giving them what they need and what, hopefully more. But, you know, I'm not freaking out if a kid's not totally into working an edge for 14 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right? And that's what I'm saying. It's just one example because you've been successful doing it, obviously, and you've installed a lot of those things from a teaching perspective in me. Similar, you're very similar to my dad, too. My dad has taught me a lot of that kind of stuff, too, about how to teach effectively because my dad's a form of a teacher as well. And it's just getting your perspective on what's been effective. That's all it is, right? There's not necessarily a right, wrong answer, but that's what you found to be effective. So I want to switch gears a little to...
Give me one more second.
You got a couple?
I'll just run through it
real
quick.
Yeah, that's fine. Go.
I'm honest with players. Spend time to get to know them a little bit. Not every player, obviously. Okay? But if I'm coaching you and if you're a regular, then I'm going to know you. Have fun. I always make sure that there's some fun, some humor, because it's, you know, it's part of getting to know people too. And it's like the little things like, how's life? How's school? How's your mom? How's your dog? I used to know everybody's mother, dad, brothers, sisters' names, dogs.
You are very good at that.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm not as good anymore because I'm oatmeal north of the eyebrows. What was really important too, like this is where I think I've had some success, where maybe some people can't copy that, is I was able to do what I was teaching.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was like, people didn't say, well, okay, like they would look, I'd say, I want you to do this. This is how you do it. And then they'd go, oh, okay. I want to learn how to do that. I want to learn how to rip a puck or make a move like that or skate like that and all that stuff. So they knew I wasn't asking them or expecting them to be something that I couldn't do or wasn't willing to do, right? So there was a presence and a believability that, oh, okay, this is for real, right? It's not just some schmuck out here teaching with his jeans on and a mustache,
yeah,
right? I think that also helped them know that I was probably more relatable to them. So if I told them a hockey story, or if I told them a thing that experience that I went through in hockey, like it's probably okay that I can understand this guy because he played for a actual team that everybody knows or many people know, not for the Shoppers Drug Mart blue team, right? Right. And but most importantly, last one, and I think it's the most important thing, is that they knew, that was the last thing I put here, is they knew I cared about them. They actually knew I cared about them. They knew that if I got a little frustrated with them, it's because I know you can do more. You didn't put the work in. So that's number one. They knew that I cared about them.
Yeah, yeah. Shoppers Drug Mart blue team.
Yeah. Well, right? Well, okay, you laugh, right? You laugh. Isn't there a guy just down the road, I'm not going to say his name right now, that teaches all the little guys and gets everybody, tells them how great they're going to be? And that's what he played.
He
talks like he played for the Leafs.
Yeah.
No, he played for the Shoppers Drug Mart blue team. Yeah. Maybe. Maybe, man.
Yeah, I know.
Like you
know.
Can't mouth off about how much you know.
Hilarious. Shoppers Drug Mart blue team.
People can see it, man.
That's a
people
Hall of Fame comment. That's going into my Andy Hall of Fame comment.
Awesome.
Should start a book. Okay, you mentioned being relatable. So on the one hand, there's the being relatable in terms of you get the process. So, for example, I had one of the kids today when I was cooking them in that workout. I had one of the kids say, have you ever played 7 games in 4 days? And it's like, yes, I have. I have, actually. I've done everything that you've done and way more because I'm older and played higher level and longer. So there's that kind of relatability. But then on the flip side, there's the relatability of remembering what it's like, you relating to them. So it's them being able to relate to you, but you also relating to them, because it's super important that they feel like they can trust you and they feel like you get it and they feel like you're in the same world as them and all that. But you can forget as a teacher, as a coach, even as a parent, what it's like to be the kid or what it's like to be a kid. And I was saying this with one of that consult I had last week. We can project as coaches and as parents, as players, we can project our mature mind onto kids that don't know any better yet. And a lot of times when you think back about yourself, you might have a little bit of a romanticized version of what you were when you were a kid. And you can think more highly of yourself or color it a little bit better than it actually was when you're thinking of yourself as a kid. And I know for sure I'm guilty of doing that. Like when I was playing junior, I didn't have any of the knowledge I currently have about training, nutrition, recovery, any of that stuff. But I do still think I was a pretty dialed in kid. And it's like, okay, well, how could that be? Because I didn't know the things that it took to be super dialed in. So maybe I intended to be super dialed in, but was my actual behavior really dialed in? If I could go back and be in that seat again, in my stall, in the dressing room, whatever, was I doing those things? So now with all the knowledge I have, am I coloring my, even if I had the same mindset, I couldn't take the action steps because I didn't know. How could I take the action step? So now you can take that and be like, well, when I was your age, I did this, this, and this, but did you? You know,
I say it all the time, dude.
Yeah.
It's when parents say, like, I hear this all the time. We were sitting in a hotel room when I was coaching. I had a couple parents with me, a couple good buddies. And the one guy was talking about these kids. We're talking a good hockey team here. I mean, half that team played college, OHL, a couple pros. And one of the dads, who his kid never did, he was talking about, you know, when he played. So he was like didn't play for the Shoppers Drug Mart blue team, but
the next team,
a little bit better, right? A little bit better. Yeah. And he said, you know, all we used to do was practice. It's all we used to do was shoot pucks. It's all we used to do. It's all we used to do. And it's, you know, my buddy called about it. He goes, did you though? He goes, did you? Are you sure you dedicated your whole life to just shooting pucks and playing, or do you think it's a little clouded? So guys try to defend it. It's like, because I look and I go, I used to just shoot pucks all the time. Yeah, I did. I shot a lot of pucks, but it's not all I did. And what I thought I was running a lot when I was like 12, 13, I was, because I had a neighbor that played for the Sudbury Wolves, and he used to go for jogs, and he took me out for a jog one day, and I wanted to get into it. But it's like, I ran a little bit, but like, I thought I was running. I was working out, but it's like, how far did you run? Did you really, you know what I mean? So you think that you're, so your point is, when you're talking to the kids, it's like, you got to be very careful of what you think is what you did, and what they're not doing enough. And the bottom line is, their kids. I remember when my kids started working out with me for real was the year COVID started. And it was just a good idea. So let's, why wouldn't we, right? You get either that, or you got a gym that you can come to. Everyone else has to stay at home. Let's get working out. So he was like, for sure. And it was after a couple of weeks, because he was getting stronger and stuff, but it was like, it's your, with your dad, man. It's like, with your dad, like, I might be one of the coolest dads too, but it's like, right? Like, look what we got. I mean, it was like, okay, dad, you know, I could see it was bugging him. And what Zach Cassian started, and Dalton Proud started working with him. And it was like, okay, this is different. But I wanted to say, like, but my wife keeps me in check a lot of the times. She'll say, do you remember? Like, it might be a team party. I'm like, what are they doing this shit for? Right? But it's like, do you remember? I go, yeah, you're right. I was excited about that. So anyways, my wife keeps me in check on a lot of this stuff to let me know that they're kids, right?
Well, and this is funny too, because like, not picking on my dad at all, but he was saying, he would say a lot to me, same thing. Like, all I did was practice. Like, he loved playing sports when he was a kid. He's like, all I did was practice. All I did was practice. But then he would say, we used to be at Micmac Park all day playing baseball. And I'd be like, well, I thought you said you practice hockey all day. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so I remember and you make the connections as a kid. It's like, I'm listening when you speak, especially when it's someone in a position of authority. It's like, I'm actually listening to what you're saying. You know? So when you say, all I ever did was shoot pucks, it's like, well, yeah, but I thought you said that you were at the bowling alley four times a week or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, we remember the things that you say. So you want to be careful as a teacher. My point, coach, parent, whatever, you can project what you would like to remember about yourself as one thing. And then another thing is, you can expect a more mature mindset on kids in terms of getting like grasping concepts, or like, you know, the kids, they run in here and they right away, they want to hit the punching bag. They want to kick the soccer ball. It's like, I've told you 790 times, just come in and sit down so we can get organized to go. But they're kids. So they're going to come in and they're going to hit the punching bag and kick the soccer ball because they're kids. That's what they're going to do. And I could sit here as a teacher and be like, why don't you guys understand this? I've told you 100 times. You know that you should know better. You should. It's like, should they? It's like, should they know better?
Go on the ice and just leave the bucket of pucks on the bench.
Yeah, right?
Just say, don't talk, like, don't say anything or whatever. They're grabbing pucks and they're firing them.
Yeah, so my point on this is, that's one fault that I've noticed with teachers, myself included. I don't exclude myself from any of this, but it's, go ahead.
Yeah, I was, the last thing I was going to say to that is, like, you always remember, like, people project what they did over practice, but you don't tell the kids, or you don't remember, you don't want to remember the time that you didn't want to work out. You don't want to remember the time that you got caught at the smoking pit with all the kids at high school. You don't want to talk about the time where you snuck out of the house at 11 o'clock at night to go hang out with your buddy, and, you know, your mom's going, what were you doing last night? Like, you got up early or whatever, right? It's like, oh, you know, you don't talk about all that stuff. No one does. Talk about the time in junior where you just didn't want to practice hard, or, you know, you didn't want to fight that guy, or you didn't want to, you bailed on a hit. Like, everyone does something at some point, or you were scared. Everyone has fear. It happens, man. Like, you know, my son, when he asked me things, I always tried to be as honest as I can. You know, like, and, you know, I told him, I said, there's fear in this thing, man. Like, everything you do in life, there's going to be some fear. You don't have any fear. Like, you're going to come to things when you don't have, when you're not doing things well, or there's things that will show where you're scared. And I'm not talking about physically necessarily always physical. Could be scared to make a play. Could be scared to carry a puck. It could be scared to block a shot. Could be a lot of different things. Scared to confront a coach. Scared to deal with an older teammate. Like, there's a lot of things that you have fear that can take over, right? Because that's reality. So, like, I think being relatable is being able to tell your kids, like, I was shitting my pants in this area. I was, you know, I worked hard, but it's like, one regret I had, I wish I would have worked harder. Or one regret I had is I worked too hard. I didn't have fun. Being relatable, right? Having conversations, man, just normal conversations. Like, because if you know, the way people talk all the time, coaches and stuff, it's like, you're not Jesus Christ himself. Everyone acts like they've done everything perfectly. Like, and I hope I never come across like that. Like, I've made a million mistakes and continue to, you know, being able to come into the rink and be relatable, humble, is huge.
Yeah, you're tailing right into my last thing. Yeah, and that's vulnerability as a coach. Like, being able to come in and show that you're just a human being and that you don't know everything and that you're going to make a mistake and it's okay. And it's okay to laugh at yourself and it's okay to be scared. Like, it's so funny talking about being scared. Like, one of the kids I was talking to the other day is a U18 kid, and on his team, there's one of their players is like this super tough, like gets in fights and whatever. And I look at, it's funny, like, as an adult, I'm looking at this kid, I'm like, how could this guy scare you? Like, yeah. I'm looking at this kid and I'm just like, there's nothing scary about this kid ever, you know? But at the time, I remember the same thing. You're 18 and you go play against whatever team, or you're 15 or you're 12 and they got this big D. And like, you go look at a 12-year-old D that's supposed to be a big scary, it's like, he's 12. Like, what are you scared of? You know, but you're also 12, so I get that you're scared.
And so maybe he's got a big mouth and that does the trick.
Exactly. You know, so it's putting yourself in that position and then showing that vulnerability as a coach, teacher, parent of just, you're not, everything you do is amazing. Not everything you do is perfect. And when your kids, like, I remember the transition in my mind where I realized that my parents were just people, that when you're a kid, you think your parents just have all the answers and they know everything and they have everything set up perfectly and they're doing everything the right way, only to find out as you become a grown up that they're just people like you. They make mistakes still like you do. And being upfront and honest about that, obviously you don't have to go to the extreme of highlighting every single mistake you make about everything. Like, there's an extreme, obviously, but just being open and honest about that as a teacher and understanding, like, you don't actually have all the answers. You don't know the best way of doing everything. Even the thing that you're teaching, you might not know all the best answer or all the best ways or all the best.
You know how it goes. The more you know, the less you know.
Exactly. And so that's the last kind of thing that I wanted to throw around about this topic is just that, is you don't have to act like you know everything all the time. In fact, it makes you less believable, gets you less buy-in, because the second there's a crack in your armor, everybody is all over it. And I had a coach, I remember once we had a push-up rule. I think I've mentioned this before. If you missed the net, you had to do 10 push-ups. That was the rule. And then he went and did a demo and he missed the net. And so all of us were cooking him to do his 10 push-ups and he could barely do 10 push-ups. And it was like, it was embarrassing. It was actually embarrassing. Like, I remember watching it and I was just like, whoo, like, had secondhand embarrassment big time, because this whole time he's been had his face on, like, he's knows everything and does everything right and whatever. And then it's like, okay, here, now you got to follow your own rule and you can barely do it, you know? And, well, I guess maybe one more thing is, because of that vulnerability type of thing, or when you have to make a correction, how did you either make corrections or tell kids to stop, that they needed to stop doing something that they were doing? So, for example, if I'm a kid and I just always play with my head down, like, I can't see the pass, I can't see the play I need to make, or if I'm a really, really dominant young player and I'm scoring and it's like too much scoring, it's like, we need to get other kids involved. I find, particularly younger, but even as kids get older, when you tell them to stop doing something, a lot of times kids will get lost, like, they don't know what to do instead. So how did you go about that, coach, parent, whatever way you want to cut it? If you had to make a correction,
just bigger picture thinking, right? So, like I'm just using, I think this probably works for everything, but let's just say the one with the head down, that's just for your own good. But it's not just, you can't just say pick your head up. The why has to be there, right? So that's the coaching piece, right? Okay, listen, I'm watching you play. Your head's down. So number one, it's not safe. You can run in, not even if, even if there's not body checking, you don't know where, what you're seeing. Number two, you don't see plays being developed. You don't, you know, the game comes real fast because if you do pick your head up, it's like it's coming at you. So you're teaching the fundamentals of why you keep your head up and then a little bit of how to keep the head up, right? So that's important. If you take the kid that's scoring way too many goals, or not way too many goals, maybe just really offensive, it's like, okay, it's good. We're the bigger picture is teaching them how to be a better player in general, right? So it's not about don't do this. It's like, let's take a look at this and let's expand on how we can make it better. That's all. And now there's some kids, this is the honest to goodness truth, there's some kids that you will put time into, and you, they might be the ones that, okay, I'll do it a different way. You put some time and effort into corrections or teaching. And there's some kids that go, yes, coach. They might even ask a question. They might even challenge you. They might, like, they're very engaged in it, and they're going to try to fix it or get better and please you. Then you're going to get others that, because they feel saying yeah is good enough, and they continue to do what they do. And there's other kids that will just nothing. Just, you might as well not even talk to them. You give each of them a little bit of time. You'll figure out who's who in the zoo again. And then at some point, there's kids that you need to have a little bit more time because they will get it. And there's other kids that they just don't care. So if you want to beat yourself over the head with a freaking ball peen hammer, spend a lot of time with people that don't care. That's what I'm talking about, matching your levels of commitment. So you have to do the teaching. You have to do the, you got to give people time. But there's a certain time with some kids where it's like, or some players where it's like, it's just, it's not worth it for me. It's just too frustrating. You got to give them, this is what we're doing. This guy's going to always get a little bit more because he's receptive and it's important. This guy's going to take a little bit more time because he needs a little bit more time to get it. Like, I'm, so in some things in life, I'm like that, right? It's like, I see something, I hear something. Okay, I know. Yeah, it seems to be right. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And then it takes maybe 3-4 times, maybe mistakes. And I go, okay, now I get what that means. Now I get it. Okay, I got it. Okay, now it makes sense. Right. And then there's some kids that do not care. So that kid there is like, it's.
Yeah, so as long as you've done your part, do your part. You've tried. Yeah. And then it is what it is.
That's it.
Cool. That covered most of the things I wanted to talk about. I know you had, we don't have to stop. I'm not rushing you at all. I know you had other things written down. If you have anything else you would like to talk about?
No, I guess maybe the last thing, like when you were talking about the humility thing, I'll maybe end it on that.
Mm-hmm.
is I think when you show a little bit of humility, and now it's not coming in there and just like humble, like you're just a freaking wet noodle, like, you know, I suck and you're better than me. Not that. What it is being able to, like what I say to the kids now, when I'm on the ice, because I just don't have the leg speeds, like, not bad, but it ain't what it used to be. So I tell the kids that, like, you know what I mean? It's like, I used to be pretty good at this, guys, and I laugh, right? Being humble, because I could sit there and if I fumble a puck, which I do every now and then still, if I fumble it, I could just say, the ice. You know, it's me now, guys, it's me. But it's important that I'm able to teach them the thing. It's being able to admit when you're wrong, or it goes so far. Maybe when your team isn't performing or doing everything that you expect them to do, maybe they did everything that they've been told. Maybe your plan wasn't good. Maybe you didn't give them details. Maybe you didn't give them the tools to succeed, and you're mean mugging them, tell them how they're not working hard. Are they not working hard or not executing? What's the plan? Is it a plan they understand? Like, pro to freaking young guys, right? So you can walk around and blame the kids all the time, but sometimes you got to walk in there and say, guys, that's me. Like, you know what, guys? It goes a long way. It goes a long way. It's me. I've been expecting this. I didn't teach you this. Or I thought we could do it like this. It doesn't work. We got to fix it. Let's get at it together. My bad.
Yeah,
goes far, man.
It's funny. This morning, I told you I cooked that grade school group today, and after, it had been like a good 45 where they were doing it, and then I had that exact same thought in my head where it was like, okay, like I can't put all of this on them because like I let it get leaky to a certain degree with their behavior, leaky enough where they felt that they could still do that. Like I didn't set the expectation enough where I could trust that they would be good if I'm out of the room for 30 seconds. So I did the same thing. I apologized to them like right at the end before we moved on with our day. And then I kind of just said like, this is also my responsibility. Like I shouldn't have let it get this far where like this needed to happen. It's like, that's my bad. And I wanted in that moment, like I regretted not doing all the workout with them, like cooking myself with
Mike
them.
Milbury.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
That's literally what I thought. I was like, shit. I was like, I should have done
teacher right there.
I was like, I should have done at least some of this with them. Just like as a self punishment to
and
show,
to
like,
show them.
Just to show them like
you suffer, I suffer.
Yeah. And like this, we are, cause I wanted, you know what? It's funny because I'm in the moment of just thinking about it. And when I walked away, I wanted to use the word like, you know, we're a team. And if you guys are off, it's a reflection of all of us kind of thing. And then in my head, I was like, well, you just cooked them for 45 minutes and you didn't do the punishment that they did. So are you part of the team or not, Eric? That was kind of what my thought was. And I was like, that's going to be the optics if I use that term. So I avoided that term on purpose because I was like, I'm going to look like a phony or whatever because now I didn't do the punishment with them, whatever. So I was like flipping a coin in my head. At the end, I was like, damn it, like I should have jumped in and did some of that with them to show that I'm trying to take some responsibility also. But at the very least, I did apologize and like take some responsibility, at least verbally, for that, like letting it get to that point. But no, I get that it does go a long way because even after, like with that group today, even after cooking them for a bit and explaining what happened and taking my apology or apologizing to them for my part of it, whatever, you would think like they could hate my guts and think like, what an asshole, what a jerk, why did he do this, yada, yada. But they went on into their classroom. I had another workout with the older group. Then as I'm leaving, all of them turn around, see a coach, see Eric, see like all of them still see it. And I think it's because of that. Like it goes a long way, man. You know that I care about you guys. And I think that's a huge, huge thing, whether it's with your own kid, like you're talking about, or with your class or with your team or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah. How about this one? Like, there's so many people that are, I love this. Door's always open, eh? You have an issue, come and talk to me. Door's always open. You ever need to talk, come and talk. All that kind of stuff. And then you can't really, though.
Yeah, how open's the door? How open
you
is
can't
it actually?
Really,
yeah.
Because you could, because you, and maybe the door is open, but you're not even approachable. It's like, why am I bothered? Or you bullshit so much that it's not, you're not going to do it, right? So it's like, is it open or not? Like, and if you can, you don't want it to be like you're the friendly giant or anything like that. But Mr. Dress-Up or something like that. But it's, well, you don't want it to be the happy place, but you want it to be a place where, here's the thing, how come I'm not playing, or how come Billy gets more ice, or how come he's the guy, whatever the things are. It's like, you got to be able to have a conversation, like, and be honest with them and tell them the truth.
Yeah.
And whatever.
Mr. Dress-Up.
Yeah, Mr. Dress-Up.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah. All right. I'm good. Are you good?
Yeah, you I'm all right. I'm all right.
Do you have anything else you want to say?
No, I think we've talked.
So what I was trying to avoid with this episode, which we did, was...
Really?
Yeah. Not talking about the specific things that make a good teacher, coach, like good communicator, good leader. We know those things. This is kind of like the more like undercover qualities that can improve the coaching experience or the teaching experience or the parenting experience that you might not think of that are layered underneath all of these other qualities, whether it's communication or whatever. So
we want to be a good mom or dad, like just to sum that up, take away hockey coach. You want to be a good dad. Go with my first thing. Care about yourself. Care about yourself. Like not only about yourself, but if you care about yourself, take care of yourself, do a good job at things that you do, have a presence that like, I give a shit about my life. Your kids will believe that. And they might follow the way their parents are. Yeah, exactly. It's the same with the coach, right? So it's like all those little things kind of work into each other.
Yeah, so it's layered underneath all that because you can be a great X's and O's coach, and that's an important thing for being a coach. But these things are kind of the underneath layer of all that to make things more effective. So hopefully that's somewhat interesting. That's all I got. That's all I got for today. Live show. If you guys want to get tickets to that, it's coming up in the new year. Become a member if you want to get pre-order and discounts for it. And that's it. See you guys next week.